coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to this week's edition of the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Axon County Citizen, Lanier County Advocate, Nichols County Echo. I'm joined this week, as usual, by Blake Pittman, editor of the Axon County Citizen. We're going to go over the headlines, or behind the headlines, in all of our newspapers and communities, and some of the things we're going to be going over from the Homerville City Council meeting. They had a discussion about the Homerville Police Department and fielded some complaints about the Homerville Police Department. We'll have that along with a recording from that meeting from Mayor Tom Kennedy addressing the situation. We'll have a story that was in the Atkinson County Citizen about Family Dollar and their future in Atkinson County and Pearson, as well as in Clinch County. We'll talk about a public building authority in Lanier County that had been proposed and where that's at. We'll also talk about what's going on in high school baseball in this area this week, as well as some high school football news. So stay tuned. That's going to be coming up in just, microphone jumped out on me in just a few minutes. But we appreciate our sponsors who have been sponsoring this podcast. They include Lutz Brown Pegler and Manly Insurance in Homerville, the Shack Cafe in Pearson, Roberts Milling Company, and the Country Cabin in Atkinson County, and also our newest sponsor, Rascals in Lake Park. Blake, tell us a little bit about Rascals.
Yeah, Rascals Bar and Grill is located on Highway 41 between Lake Park and Valdosta. They are open on Thursday afternoons from 5 p.m. until midnight. They have trivia on Thursday nights. On Friday nights, they have karaoke and are open from 5 p.m. until 2 a.m. And on Saturday nights, they always have a live band available, and they're also open from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. I'm sorry. That's Rascals Bar and Grill, located on Highway 41 just outside of Lake Park.
We appreciate all of our sponsors, including Rascals. And in just a second, we're going to get back to the Behind the News podcast after a word from one of those sponsors.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manly in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello, beautiful podcast people. This is Lynn Robbins welcoming you back to the Behind the News podcast. One of the big headlines in the Clinch County News this week was about a Homerville City Council meeting where some folks came and had some complaints about the Homerville Police Department. One of the people who was speaking at the meeting was Carol Glaze, also known as Cat Cooper. And one thing she said, and she had about nine other people who were there supporting her who didn't speak, but seemed to be in agreement, was that a lot of people in the community are having problems and have had problems with the police department and how they're doing their business about, and what she said, what she claimed was pulling over people for nitpicking reasons, for sort of picking on them or bullying citizens, and that and harassing. And she claimed that it was happening a lot in certain areas of the community and with certain people. And Mayor Tom Kennedy addressed her on this and said, you know, agreed with her. And we're going to have a recording from that, what Mayor Kennedy said, in just a little bit. But one of the things that, and he agreed with him and then addressed a lot of the issues that were brought forth. We do not have what Carol said at the meeting. The recording wasn't really that good. But in essence, she was saying that, and we've seen this and reported this in the newspaper a lot over the last probably 6 months. And one of the problems is that when people get pulled over for certain things, that other people who, and I'll just give a good example. We had a couple of cases actually where somebody gets pulled over and then somebody who's a relative or a friend pulls up behind the police car and starts talking to the police while they're trying to make a citation or arrest or whatever. And then in some cases, you had a big crowd that's come up, and it's a what Mayor Kennedy said, that's a dangerous situation because the police, when you have 30 or 40 people surrounding you and there's two policemen, even if they do have weapons and you know, vests or whatever, they don't know who all these 40 people are, and it's a dangerous situation. And one thing that Carol Glay said, and this is why she brought it up, was she goes, you know, this is a dangerous situation, and I'm afraid somebody's going to get hurt or it's going to blow up into a situation like we've seen in some other communities. And the thing about the conversation, Blake, was it was a good conversation. Sure. And I mean, it was a productive, I thought, and, you know, it was something that needed to be addressed. And I'm glad that Carol Glaze brought it up. I'm also glad that the city council addressed it in a positive manner and recognized this was a concern. Because sometimes, and you've been to city and county meetings before, sometimes city and counties or you know, governmental officials will get defensive rather than accept some criticism. This time, city council accepted some criticism from their police department. And then Tom Kennedy addressed it to mayor. And we're going to, I think, I couldn't get all the quotations in the story, so I think this is a good format for us to give a more complete answer that, that Mayor Kennedy gave. So in just a second, we're going to do that, and we're going to listen to that. And then it's about 10 minutes, so if you're not interested in this segment, just skip 10 minutes ahead, and we'll get back to some other stuff. But I think it's worth it to if you're interested in that. And this happens in all of our communities, by the way, yeah, where you have, and it, I'll discuss in a little bit, but it gives it good context. So here's that recording from the city council meeting. It's Mayor Tom Kennedy addressing the complaints that were made by citizens about the Homerville Police Department.
It's obvious that our police department and our community, I guess a nice way of saying it, does not have the best relationship.
Right.
Our officers do a great job, and they put their lives on the line every day. And y'all have to, y'all all have to admit to that. And they get up every morning for money that I probably wouldn't do it for. And they do it because they love it. And they do the best that they can to keep y'all and us and everybody in this community safe. But they're humans too, and sometimes things don't come across the best way. Sometimes somebody else might be having a bad day too, and they might not speak. And they might, when they speak, it might not be right. And they, you might think they're being rude, and they're not. One thing we are going to do, and I've talked with the chief about it, and he's in agreement, and I think all of our officers are in agreement, and I don't know exactly what the answer is. But we have got to come together as a community, because the one thing you did say that I agree 100% with, and it's been scaring me a lot, if something doesn't get better, then somebody's going to get hurt. Because what happens is community are fussing, or community is fussing. And then they get these young men fired up about it too. And 9 out of 10 times, everyone's being stopped. The fact is, and this is what we, and this isn't fixing it, but this is the facts. When you get pulled over, you have to do what the police officers say. I don't care if you think they're picking on you or not. Our kids need to know that, hey, when you get pulled over, it's yes sir, yes ma'am. You get your ticket, and you go on about your business. And the way you do that is if you are getting picked on, then you do just like y'all are doing. This is the way to build a relationship to make it better. Not there being a stop on the side of the road and 50 people come and get around you. That's when somebody's going to get hurt. That's when something bad's going to happen. That's when people run their mouths back at the police officers and cause a confrontation, and next thing you know, they're going to jail too. And nobody wins when that happens. And that's not going to be good for anybody. So what I'm saying is when there is a problem, or there's somebody that's got a problem, the way to fix it is this right here. The way to fix fix it is go see the chief. And if that doesn't work and there's still a problem, then you come to us. And then if it is a problem on the all, because all officers are not right all the time. I'm not saying that they are. Nobody's perfect, okay? And we're not going to put up with somebody actually picking on somebody else on purpose. That's not the kind of police department that I want to have as while I'm mayor. But we've got to address it the right way. And I'm glad to see a room full tonight. Because this is the right way to fix it and to address it. Not following them around the streets when they make a stop. Run up there and get somebody thrown in jail. Or get somebody tased. That's not the way to fix it. Officer, Chief Anderson showed me today. There's new paperwork that he's going to do. And it's not just to make more paperwork and dismiss somebody. If you've got a complaint, then you come up here and we're not doing just verbal complaints anymore. If you got a complaint, you can tell us about it. You can tell me about it. But you go to the chief's office and there's a form you're going to fill out. And you're going to fill it out. And then that way, then the complaint can get looked into and you will be gotten back to it. And there's a follow-up on it. Because too many times, somebody tells me about it and my mind is in 50 other different places, and I might not even remember exactly what she said, and it might be a he said, she said. No, the person with complaint come up here and talk to the chief, and then it'll get looked into, and whoever doesn't have cameras, we're working. We spend a lot of money on cameras and on different stuff. We're getting all the cameras right. So how many of our officers do have cameras?
We've got two that are working. We called L3 Communications today. The brand new ones are 6 weeks out, but they're going to send us replacements next week where we'll have cameras. The five new cars have cameras in them. And they're working.
Okay. That's the things that with the first steps we started taking. Like I said, these five new cars, like you just said, they all have cameras in them. So if there's a problem, it protects our police officers and it protects y'all. So if there's a problem and you say, well, my son said that police officer walked up and said this to him, you can come right up here to the chief, they can pull the camera, and you'll be able to tell what happened. You know?
Actually,
yeah.
I want you to put, you say you got a complaint form, so if I fill out a complaint form, can I look for a follow-up from you?
Absolutely.
That's one reason we're doing that. So there's a paper trail of it, and we know who has complained and what has been complained about, and we can investigate it and look into it, and we can get. And you're going to get a follow-up. That's what I'm saying. We're not just doing it, so we'll fill it up and throw it in a cabinet somewhere and walk off and forget it. These are the first steps we're taking. It's like those cameras. That's the first step we're taking that protects our officers and protects the citizens. And the cameras don't lie. You know, you can see what happened.
Well, I just asked you that question, so someone asked me that I can tell them they can fill out the complaint.
Yes, that's
and right. Expect a response
right.
From you once you investigate.
And that's the thing we're doing. I'm not sitting here blaming our officers or blaming the citizens or blaming anybody. What I'm saying is our relationship isn't where I want it to be, and it's not where the chief wants it to be, and it's not where our officers want it to be either. We're going to make it better, and not making it better is not an option. We're not going to stay where we are now because our community means too much to all of y'all and all of us. We're part of this community too, and we're going to get it fixed. And it takes this, doing it the right way. That's what I've always told you. If you do something the right way, you can get a lot more accomplished than standing over a screen. Because when you do that, or when you're arguing with an officer on the side of a road at a stop, if these officers have somebody stop, you have no business going to that traffic stop. You have no business stopping at it. Because here's the thing. Throughout the last 2 years, we've had threats on our officers. We've literally had threats on our officers. And so tell me this, when you got an officer, and a lot of times this is why they have backup. If one of them makes a stop, well then that officer is focused on the stop. There's nothing wrong with the second officer coming up there, but pay attention to everything else around them. And what if 50 people come up there, or 20 people come up there, and everybody's fussing, that's my nephew, and I'm hollering at him, well he might know this cat smoke threat. Okay, this cat smoke gives the boy a gun to shoot anybody. But if she's sitting there screaming at me because I've got her nephew stopped, it takes my eyes off of that guy over there that could be a threat. It's a danger to these police officers when that happens. That's when things are going to get out of hand. That has to stop. If there's somebody being mistreated, the way to handle it is the way y'all are doing now, and to come up here and to go see the chief. And then when nothing gets, if nothing gets done then there's still the right way to handle it. You know, the right way to handle it is not in the streets while these officers are making stops. Because it's like you said, and all y'all agree, we want them to do the jobs. We do want them enforcing the law. We just got to get everything in better shape. Okay? And it's going to take our officers, but it's also going to take the public having an open mind to our officers. Because I've heard it till I'm sick of it. We don't know nobody even from here. Okay? So, they're still officers. What that means is they didn't go to school with you, but it doesn't mean that you weren't speeding because they're not from here. It doesn't mean you didn't have drugs in your car because they're not from here. You know, these officers are not from here, but they're still the best in our community. And so, we've got to respect that as well. And it's not like we're just not hiring local people. There's not any local people that's applying, you know, and not that we would over somebody out of town. I'm just saying, it's not like Homeville's kicking out police officers less than not sooner than everywhere else. So that's not a complaint. Well, we don't even have anybody from here. That's not a complaint to be saved. I'm glad y'all came. And I appreciate what you said, and I appreciate all of y'all being here. And it is going to get addressed, but it needs to be addressed from both sides. And listen, if y'all have any ideas about how to make our relationship better, where they can go to a function, and invite them to a function. Invite them to one of the churches when they're having something to just come and meet people. Just because they show up doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Invite them to a good thing. It's going to take everybody's. It's going to take everybody's efforts, the officers and the community, to fix this. And so, I mean, that's the help we need from y'all. Obviously, you care.
All right. I hope that cleared up some of the, or gave some context to that situation. And Blake, before we move on to something else, one other thing I wanted to mention about that was I've been covering city council meetings and governmental meetings for a long, long time, 25 years. And so I have some institutional memory about things. And one of the things is there's always complaints about police or sheriff's department and the job they're doing. Now, not always, but every once in a while. And since I've been covering Homerville City Council, which I said was like 25 years, probably 8 of those instances, they were people complaining about the police not doing enough.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things about this was one of the complaints was they're patrolling too much in a certain neighborhood. Like I said, there's been 8 other instances over the last 25 years where people specifically went and complained to the city council about police not patrolling in that specific neighborhood enough. So I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I sort of think it's a good thing that they're being, but there's a fine line that you walk as a small town police or sheriff on that, you know, the fine line of being overzealous or being too lax.
Yep.
And that's not just in Homerville, City of Homerville. That's in Clinch County, Pearson, everywhere. You can go back to Andy Griffith's show. That's on there where Barney's either overzealous or he complains that Andy's too lax. You got to find that fine line, and hopefully this will help the Homerville Police Department. You know,
on a positive note with them, I will say this, not to knock any of the past police departments, but they are very active around the community. I mean, you can't ride through town without seeing one of them somewhere. And if you don't believe me, speed through that school zone in the morning and they will let you know that they are out doing their job. If you go a half of a tenth of a mile over that speed limit, they are going to stop you. So, I mean, they are out and about and, you know, around everywhere you go. You can drive to Argyle and there'll be one sitting about the mill out there in the county.
The city limits go out to that.
Oh, really?
Out to, you know, where they put that new industrial park?
Yeah.
It goes on the highway all the way out there.
I did not know that.
So it connects so they can have city water.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Okay, moving on to another topic. Family Dollar has announced they're closing a lot of stores around the nation. Also, that they're converting some of them to Dollar Tree. We got an update on that from what's happening with the Pearson store, Blake.
Yeah, I spoke to the manager of the Pearson store Wednesday morning about 8:30, and she assured me that the store is not closing. The Pearson Family Dollar will remain open, she said, but in the near future they're going to be converting certain parts of the store. It will still be a Family Dollar. They're not going to classify it as a Dollar Tree, but she said they're going to incorporate some of the Dollar Tree elements into the store. They'll have certain aisles where everything's a dollar, or certain spots where everything's a dollar. You know, you get the gist of pretty well how the Dollar Tree works. But she said it'll kind of be like a Family Dollar and a Dollar Tree together, but it'll still be under the heading of a Family Dollar. So Pearson, Atkinson County, you're safe. You get to keep your Family Dollar.
All right, we're about halfway through this podcast. We still got some stuff coming up, including a discussion about the Public Building Authority proposal in Lanier County and some sports action. But first, we're going to have a word from our sponsor, and here we go with that.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Mill & Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They're open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Welcome back, boys and girls, to the Behind the News podcast. And one thing we want to talk about was the Public Building Authority proposal in Lanier County. That's something that's been approved by all three of the major governmental entities over there, the school board, the county commission, and the city, Lakeland City Council, which would make a building authority that they could go through to get building projects financed. There's been a hiccup in that, though. It has to go before the state legislature to get it approved. And because the Board of Education, when they passed it with a 4-1 vote, with board member Denny Fender voting against it. The legislators, Senator Ellis Black and new representative James Burchett, said that they wanted it to be unanimous. So it went back before the Board of Education last week, and we have a story by Bob Jones in this week's Lanier County Advocate about it. And it was it went back before them, and it basically now is too late for that public building authority legislation to get approved by the state legislature. So they're going to have to hold off on that until next year. We also have a story about the Milltown Motorcade, which is coming up in a couple of weeks on Saturday, April 13th. And also in this week's edition, if you're in Lanier County, first of all, one thing I want to note is that we have the Guide to Lanier County that's in this week's edition, which is a magazine that you need to get because it has a lot of valuable information about your community. But also we had 6 inserts, Blake, including 3 coupons from restaurants, from McDonald's, yep, from Huddle House, and from Hardee's. So the newspaper's worth about $15 in terms of savings and, you know, with the guide in it. So, you know, you're getting a big value there if you pick up a copy of The Advocate this week in Lanier County. Also wanted to talk about Region 2A baseball. And, Blake, I'm going to give you the records of everybody right now. Clinch County is leading the region with an 8-1 mark, 14-3 overall. Telfair County is also 8-1, 11-7 overall. Irwin County 8-2, but 10-8 overall. Charlton County 7-2, 12-5 overall. Lanier County is 5-4 in the region, 8-6 overall. Atkinson County is 3-7 in the region, 4-10 overall. And Eccles County is 1-9 in region 2A play and 4-10 overall. Clinch plays Eccles today, I think, in Statenville, when we're broadcasting this on a Thursday. And I think they turn around next Tuesday. Eccles comes to Clinch. And then Clinch also has a doubleheader this weekend at Seminole County, but they're playing Seminole and Pelham. Playing Pelham at 2 o'clock, Seminole at 4:30. But the big thing for that region race, really, is going to be the following week. After who has I know Clinch and Lanier have spring break starting this weekend,
Monday,
right?
Yeah, Monday.
Yeah, and what about Atkinson? Do we know?
I'm not sure. Okay. I'll find out.
But after spring break, Clinch comes back, and they'll play Irwin County at home on April 9th. And that'll be a rematch of a game they had earlier this year, which was sort of controversial in the way it ended. So that one, that could be a testy meeting. And then they, that couple days later, they go to Telfair County, yes, Friday, April 12th. So that'll be another big game in baseball. So we'll keep an eye on that. Looks like, you know, I think Clinch was ranked fifth in the power rankings, the latest one. But now we got, I think, about three more weeks, maybe 4 weeks of the baseball season. We need to start looking at the power rankings, which determine the region seeding. Right now, it would appear that almost all those teams I named going down the Lanier have a chance to get into the playoffs. So we'll see about that. One other thing in local sports news, Jeremiah Johnson, who's Clinch County 6'7" junior receiver, last week committed to the University of Florida. That is non-binding. If you remember, you know, if you follow college football or recruiting at all, you know, a lot of times these kids make a commitment their junior year and it changes. But Jeremiah went down there with some other players from Clinch, I think, to Florida's junior day and had a big time and committed to them. They want him to play tight end with, you know, he's 6'7", 215 pounds. You know, he could play tight end.
Yeah, big tight end.
Yeah, it would be. So he committed him. That's not binding until they actually sign the scholarship papers, which would be sometime in 2020. Of course, he still has one more football and basketball season to play. In other football news, Franklin Stevens, who was the coach at nearby Ware County, football coach, has gone, I believe, to McEachern. Anyway, he's left Ware County. They have an opening there. Rumors are that Jason Strickland, Clinch County High grad, was the head coach at Pierce County, may be in line to be Ware County's coach. Jason's only been at Pierce County for 2 years, but I think the first year they went like 6-5, something like that. Second year, 13-1.
Yeah, had a real good season.
And everywhere he's been at Lamar County, turned them around. Fitzgerald, played for the state championship twice, then goes to Pierce and makes him they got into the Final Four his second year there. Yeah. So if Ware County were to get him,
that'd be a good acquisition for him.
That would. And oddly enough, Franklin Stevens, who was Ware County's coach, was the guy who replaced Jason Strickland at Lamar County.
Oh, wow.
Jason Strickland left Lamar County to go to Fitzgerald. Stevens went in, I think he came from Tucker maybe high school, went to Lamar County and went from Lamar County to Ware County. Blake, that's about all I have right over here.
Yeah, that's about all I got as well. I think that's pretty well it. We didn't have anything exciting going on in Eccles this week.
Where?
Eccles County out this week, so make sure you get a copy of that.
Oh,
one,
yeah. Yeah, they're, Eccles County paper's out, and not much in terms of what we want to go over.
Yeah. Yeah, before I forget, Lynn, before we go, why don't you tell us what exactly Lynn Robbins' column is about this week?
It's about the Florida Man Challenge, Blake. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
Yes, I am.
It was a sort of an internet phenomenon that I think I may have started a week and a half ago. Here's what you do. You get on a computer, Google Florida Man and your birthday. And when I did that, what happens is you look for the first headline that comes up. Mm-hmm. Mine was Florida man with no arms charged with stabbing Chicago tourists. Now, your birthday, which was, what did we say?
October 1st, yeah.
All right, was Florida man accused of shooting cat with crossbow.
Sounds like my kind of Florida man.
And these are all real headlines from, you know,
this
from Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, and here's some other ones that, and I went, and the column is about, I just went, got people's birthdays or friends of mine or family members. And November 25th, Florida man shoves foot-long sandwich down his pants, sparks manhunt. April 30th, Florida man kicking swans in the head to practice karate, arrested for cruelty to animals. Anyway, it's great fun. Even if you don't read the column, go ahead, get your birthday, get on a computer, and do the Florida man challenge.
See what Florida man
and
waits
amuse
for
yourself
you.
At home. It's comedy you can do at home.
That's right. Self-entertainment.
That's it for the Behind the News podcast this week. We appreciate you joining us. We appreciate our sponsors. Sponsors, Lutz Brown Pigler, Manly Insurance in Homerville, Shack Cafe over in Pearson, Roberts Milling Company and Country Cabin, also in Atchison County, and Rascals over in Lake Park. And Blake, tell us about Rascals one more time.
Rascals Bar and Grill is located on Highway 41 between Lake Park and Valdosta. They're open on Thursday from 5 p.m. to midnight, and on Friday and Saturdays from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. They have a full kitchen, a full bar, and trivia on Thursday nights, karaoke on Friday nights, and live bands on Saturday nights.
Sounds like fun. We appreciate the folks at Rascals and all of our sponsors, and appreciate you for listening to the Behind the News podcast. Tune in next week. We'll be doing it again, hopefully coming out on Thursday, telling you what's going on behind the news in Clinch, Atkinson, Lanier, and Eccles County. For Blake Pittman, I'm Lynn Robbins. We will see you next week.